September 11th, 2001, which has come to be known as 9/11, happened. 19 militants associated with the Islamic extremist group Al-Qaeda hijacked 4 airplanes, carried out suicide attacks against targets in the United States. We all know the story, but there are future generations who will learn. 2 of the planes were flown into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City. 3rd plane hit the Pentagon just outside Washington, D.C., and the 4th plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. Almost 3,000 people were killed during the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Now, that impacted all of us, but personally, it impacted you and business. How did that happen? Where did that start?
Well, I'll never forget it. My daughter was just a few months old, and I was actually upstairs. The lady who was living with me helped me. Gina, she buzzed me. She said there has been some planes hit buildings in New York City. So I turned the TV on upstairs. Well, there's a building there on fire, and there was people trying to talk. It just happened. If you know a little bit about history, a plane hit the Empire State Building way back in the 30s or 40s, a DC-10, small, you know, propeller engine. So those things happen. So that's what we thought, people on the news and everything. And watching it, here came the second plane. And everybody knew within an instant that we were under attack. I was glued to that TV for a couple of days. First of all, I'm a very proud American. My dad fought, and I lost some guys in Nam. So I'm a you know, pure-blooded American. I didn't like what was going on. About a week, 10 days later, I get a call from Senator Inhofe. He and I go back to when he was, a lot of people don't realize, he was mayor of Tulsa. Back in the 90s, I was powder coating parts of airplanes for him. He was always rebuilding something. He found out he needed a powder coating. He never heard of powder coating, but he found us, and that's how we become friends. Well, he called me up. He said, I want to come visit you. I'm going to bring a guy with me. His name is Colonel Bonzel. I never heard of Colonel Bonzel, but I found out everybody else knew him. He was head of what you'd call today Homeland Security as far as securing facilities, airports, military bases. And I'm not talking about just perimeter, but everything. You know, back then, we were certainly into high tech. What was high tech then? Perimeter security things. So he brought Colonel Bonzel by, and I had a couple people in the office with me. He said, in the fencing business, and yeah, a long time, he said, okay, what do we have in the States for perimeter security? I said, we don't have anything. He said, well, we got these steel fences. I said, that's chain link. You can breach a chain link fence with a pair of pliers that you can buy for $20 at Ace Hardware and cut through that in 18 seconds. He said, how do you know? I said, we've been testing it for a while. I've always thought about a better security product. And he said, well, I need 2 minutes. I said, well, I might be able to get more than that. And he said, no, 2 minutes, I'll never forget. He said, I can get F-16s in the air in 2 minutes.
You need 2 minutes.
Breach time, how long it takes an intruder to get through there. A trained commando type guy. They eventually had SEALs and Green Berets testing fencing. Give them any tool they want. Generally, most tools that you're going to take to get through a fence need to be quiet and can't have a torch to get attention. But either way, they had all kinds of tests, and even how long it takes to get over the top. Because anybody can breach a perimeter product. This wall that Trump wants to build, you can still breach it, but it takes longer. And longer means reaction time for the security forces to get there to hopefully stop the intrusion there. So Colonel Bonson and I got along real good, and he said, I need a better product. You know, I want to know where this is going because I know how difficult the government can be with products. And Inhofe says, you know, you're not going to get everything that's out there, and even if you have a patented product, the government is allowed to buy that product from somebody else. When it comes to military security, the government can get around anything. But I took that at heart, and I left and went to Europe. That's why I asked you a while ago, it's a trip to England. Went to London first and up into the Scotland area, and we were looking at products that they use over there. because they have had terrorist problems back in the 50s. And we're talking about homegrown terrorists with the IRA and this and that. There was no chain link over there. Most of their product, they call Palisades. And Palisades is some word that means pale. And they had a lot of it all over Europe. We visited a company north of Milan, Italy, about 80 miles way up in the mountains, and they made a welded wire mesh. So anyway, I visited a lot of people, came back with some good ideas, and we built a product similar to Palisades. But Palisades was just a tubular product. You buy the tubing from some tube mill, then make it out of a tubular product, which that's what we did with our ornamental until we put in our own tube mills. You go back to Aegis, we made all of that. We made all the tubing and everything. Through the Aegis product, I learned a lot about roll forming. You can take a piece of steel that's a third the weight as another piece of steel that's rolled into a square tubing or round tubing, and I can roll that up into a shape that will have half as much steel, but three times as strong, just with the roll forming technology. And I came back and I developed a product 100 feet away, it looks just like Palisades, but you get up close. The vertical picket is a roll form product that add a lot of strength to it. Then the horizontal rails, same thing. Same thing with the post. We got some patents on that product and we made it through automation, wasn't handmade. So we took a product that would give you 2.5 minutes of breaching the product with about 35% less steel, made through automation with about half the labor. So that was the key to manufacturing a very high quality product that you can sell a whole lot of at some really strong margins. That was the Impasse product.
So you got the government contracts for that?
Yeah.
Well, that was just...
That was pretty good.
More than pretty good, wasn't it?
Well, we got a lot of military bases. They took us first to areas that were of high risk. Embassies. We started fencing embassies. You might remember when Iran was raiding our embassy over there. They scaled the wall. Yeah, and I just talked to Barry Willingham, runs Ameristar now. They just sold $2.5 million into Saudi. One job. That product's got 60% margins. So
that was beyond anything you'd ever done then, the biggest, is that true?
Yeah, as far as the biggest seller, the Montage, in between Aegis and Impasse was the Montage product that we also made through automation, except here's the key, we made the whole panel. Up until Montage, Aegis was shipped in a box, which you could ship it on common carrier. Yellow freight on a full truckload. The Montage was a product I developed in 04, built a whole plant for it. Impasse today that we just discussed is successful. Montage is just as successful. I'm probably more proud of that than anything. And that was a product that I don't know if I was in the shower, but I was somewhere when it hit me that we can make this through automation, through robotic welding. Because if you go back to the Aegis product that's in a roll form, you lose a lot of strength because the vertical picket is not actually fixed to the horizontal rail. It's just held in place. The Montage enabled us to roll up this rail, drop a picket in it, vertical picket, then put it through the welding operation, which is all automatic robots, zap, 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 and that vertical picket is actually welded to the horizontal rail through fusion welding. I built that plant in 04, $42 million, counting all the equipment in the plant, to build a product that had never been built before. I had prototypes that I tested, but as a $42 million investment, the first year we sold $40 million worth of product. To me, that was the best success we ever had, except the people at Ameristar.